This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Adam Ritz, and Jay Baker joining me on the telephone. Jay, how are you, brother?
I am doing great. It's a good day here on the air.
It's a great day to talk about an issue that we seem to bring up about once a month, and I think it's been about 4 or 5 weeks since we talked about scamming. And I bring it up because a couple of stories came across my desk this week. The AP reported that scammers stole more than $3.4 billion, with a B, dollars from older Americans last year. This is according to an FBI report. So, you know, Jay and I often bring up scams, partly because we're potential victims of scams. We get the phone calls, we get the emails, and every time we get some sort of juicy scam come across our notifications, we bring it up on the air because it's good to remind everybody that the scamming is happening. And I guess so, with more than $3.4 billion being scammed from older Americans last year. Now, that's not total scam. That's just from the elderly, because they're a very easy target to take advantage of. So it's just a great way to bring up again, keep your head on the swivel, stay alert, be vigilant, be diligent. The bad guys are out there, and they will lie to you through email or telemarketing to get your money. And Jay, I did have a phone call last week that I actually answered. I don't know if you're like me, and you don't even answer the phone anymore. If I called, you'd answer because you'd see my name on the caller ID.
Right.
If you get a number that you don't recognize, and I'm not saying a number that says unknown call or telemarketer or scam alert. Of course, you're not going to answer those. But if it's just a 10-digit number, area code you don't know, do you answer those?
I tend not to, but I have answered them on occasion.
Yeah, on occasion. And I answered one because I was doing some business in the state of Florida, and a call came in from caller ID Fort Lauderdale. So I'm like, I'll answer this. And I say, hello, it's Adam. And the gentleman on the other line informs me that I won a vacation.
Ah. And I love it. Good luck.
Jay, you know me, I like a vacation. So I wanted to hear what he had to say. And he said about 6 months ago that I had registered to win an all-expenses-paid trip to the Bahamas via a cruise line of my choice. Hey, I love the Bahamas, and I love cruise lines, so I keep listening. And I'm like...
Well, it's the cruise line of your choice. I mean, that is quite the prize, my friend.
So far, he hasn't said anything I don't like. And it was not the same old Nigerian prince scam that you've been accustomed to hearing over the last 25 years. So now, as... And I admit I kept listening, but I was half toe in the water. You know, I was half out of the water thinking, okay, is this a scam? What's he, you know, because I know, hey, there's promotions. There's people that give away trips.
I don't disagree. And you don't know what you've signed up for.
It's possible I put my business card in a fishbowl. I mean, you've done that, haven't you? And you win something.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So he tells me that 6 months ago I registered to win this trip. And I'm like, so I started asking him about that. Now, where did I register to win this trip? And he had no answers. And he's like, well, it was about last January. And I'm like, well, that wasn't really 6 months ago. And he goes, well, it was within the last 6 months. He goes, I don't know exactly where it was. And I go, so what do I have to do to win this trip? And he starts to explain, and he asked me a personal question, and it was about my address. He said, uh-huh. Now what address are you at now? Uh-huh. And I said, you know, I don't think this sounds very legitimate, and the guy hung up.
So he didn't really pursue it with vigor. He caved pretty easily.
He caved easily. So if he would have said, well, we need a database, we need to match your, you know, we have, you know, I maybe there is a legitimate. I have friends that win vacations, and I'm sure someone needs to know your address if you win a vacation or a trip to Hawaii or whatever.
Correct.
But if you get an incoming call from a phone number you don't know, as we talk about scam alerts, and you've got a toe in the water, keep the other part of your body out of the water with a little bit of, hey, I wonder if this is a scam, and answer their questions with your own questions. That's, I think, something I learned through going through these phone calls. If they ask you a question, don't just blurt out the answer. That's how they get information about you to right. scam your money. So answer their question with a question of your own. Why do you need this information? Why do you need my home address? Why is that? Well, I'll tell you what. I want to continue on this path of winning the cruise, but I'm not going to give you my home address. Now what do we do? Where do we go next?
Yeah, where do we go?
And if he's like, click, then you know it was a scam.
Yeah, shoot. I was kind of hoping you'd take me on the cruise because I'm sure had to have been a plus one.
Well, I've been a fan of the Marvel superhero movies enough to think that in the metaverse or the multiverse, there has to be a version of me somewhere that actually did win a vacation in the multiverse.
I'm a little disappointed. I was packing as you were telling the story. of interest, and you raise a great point about every one of your points is well taken, and just be careful. It's probably not even a good idea necessarily to answer the phone if you don't recognize the number. Though, as Adam was pointing out, he was doing business in Florida, and that could have easily been somebody you needed to chat with.
So the good news is I did not get scammed. And add to the $3.4 billion that Americans were scammed out of last year.
That's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah. The bad news is I did not win a vacation.
And oh, then, darn it.
Jay, I'll wrap up the story by telling you that I did also receive an email from a PayPal account that said my package was being held at the warehouse and that I could receive it once I paid in full, and it was like $139.47. And there was no package. I didn't order anything. This was a complete scam. And I just think enough people order enough stuff from, I'm not even talking Amazon.
From a number of sources,
You've got Facebook Marketplace, you've got eBay, You've probably got 1,000 other .coms or .nets that I've never even heard of where you can log on, throw down a credit card, and have a box sent to your house. So I would guess just at any given moment, there's 100 million Americans that are waiting for some sort of package to be delivered that they bought. And, you know, if the scammers send out enough emails, they're going to get some people clicking on that thinking, ooh, I've got to get my nose clippers. Here's my credit card number. Please.
Well, no, you're right. You know, they figure, you know, I send out 1,000 of these notices, and what if 5 people respond? I'll send out another 1,000.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So just keep your head on that swivel, man. Those scammers are out there, and they're getting more and more creative every week. So I can imagine in 12 months from now, when we bring up a scam alert, I'm sure we'll be talking about something that we couldn't even have thought of today.
Well, and that's the thing. I was doing some research for this week's show and bumped into a scam alert situation. And when I read about it, I thought, oh, my, because you and I sometimes have to marvel that these scammers are getting somewhat clever. I'm not suggesting they're, you know, innovative people. I'm just saying they've really figured out some ways to divest you of your cash. Mm-hmm. This one pointed out, be very careful if somebody calls you and says, can you hear me? Because specifically they are trying to get you to say the word yes, because yes can be used if they have other information about you. They can say, do you okay this purchase on your credit card? They can take the recorded portion of your voice saying yes and attempt to scam you.
That is an amazing
story.
If they get your voice on tape, or digitally recorded. Yeah, yes, I'm old. I said tape. if they VCR record your voice, they'll have maybe they can even recreate your voice to say other words through AI. It's just amazing. Yeah. If somebody calls, we really are getting to the point where if it's not a name or number you recognize, you probably shouldn't even answer it.
Well, we've talked about that, is that, you know, in general, human nature says be trusting. So if somebody called up and said, can you hear me? Well, you know, human nature says, well, yes, I can hear you. Well, isn't that creepy that they may use that part of the conversation? I mean, I after I read that, I went, whoa, I got to chill.
Yeah, and don't be afraid. You're right. Human nature is to be helpful and not be rude. So don't be afraid to say something that maybe could be rude. For example, I had a phone call today from the New York area, and I answered it. Again, I was maybe expecting a call from somebody on the East Coast, and so I answered it. Hello. And the person said, yes, hello, something or another. And they said, is this Mr. Ritz? And I said, who is this? That's my immediate go-to when a telemarketer calls. Because I don't see, it's not that I was thinking, thank God you told me don't say yes. Because if he said, is this Mr. Ritz? And I said, yes, now he's got me on tape saying that. And sure. He can scan. But I was just thinking, what I want to do is avoid their attempts to get me into friendly conversation.
Right.
Because that's what telemarketers want to do. So I'm just, who is this? And they'll say, oh, this is, he said, this is Michael from so-and-so whatever services. And I go, I'm not interested, Michael. And I just hung up. So don't, you know, they're ruining your day. They're interrupting your day. Don't be afraid to be a little rude and just say, who is this?
That could have been your chance, though, to get a great deal on replacement windows. I'm a little disappointed.
You know what? I might have passed on a cruise line vacation to the Bahamas. That is my fault.
It's a cruise with replacement windows. It's convoluted, but it's quite a prize. Okay, here's a survey, and this is so interesting to me because this is something that I've heard about for years. I think that it obviously is a phenomena. You and I have always talked about we're never going to discuss serious politics on this show. We know how controversial it could be, but I will take you back in a time machine. Back in the 70s, it was pointed out that Johnny Carson, the talk show host, was one of the most popular celebrities in the United States. Mm-hmm. In the 70s, he could have run for president easily with no other qualifications, just because he was extremely well known. And I thought, I've always held that in my mind. So I'm excited about a new survey. They talked to 2,000 Americans, and they said, what celebrity would you want as president of the United States? And who would be your pick if you could just select somebody from the, celebrity world? Who would you want to be the president?
A celebrity that I want to be president. I would say, now, you know what? He's not American, so he couldn't be president, but I would choose Elon Musk.
Ah, and you're not the only one. It's funny. Elon Musk actually got 7%. Of the respondents say they would like Elon to be the next president.
I wonder how many of us that said that know that he can't be president because he's not a U.S. citizen or a natural.
He's technically South American, South African.
South
right?
African, and you need to be an American native-born citizen. So 7%, so there's 93% of the rest of the 2,000 people that don't tell me they picked, Taylor Swift or...
Well, that would be one of the usual suspects. This is kind of funny, and I won't leave you hanging, but 15% of Americans said they would love to have Denzel Washington be the next president.
That would be smooth.
Just made me laugh because, he's very self-assured. He's Mr. Poised. He'd be a great president.
That'd be a smooth president. Did anybody pick Joe Rogan? Is that on the list?
Joe Rogan is not on the list. Let me see what the list says. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who has indicated that he has some interest in someday running from some for a national office, comes in at 13%, followed by Tom Hanks, Clint Eastwood, George Clooney. They're all up with at least 10% of the vote. Oprah right behind them.
I was just going to say Oprah. Yeah.
Here's a person that many people have said, man, I kind of admire how down to earth he is, Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, there were rumors of him running for the governor of Texas not too
long
ago.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah. Bill Gates is on the list, Elon Musk, and Mark Cuban rounded out the top 10.
Where's Adam Sandler in the top 10? Anybody vote for him?
Wouldn't it be great?
President
I'm
Sandler.
I'm the president now.
You know,
Adam Sandler, wouldn't he be in that baby voice going, listen, North Korea.
Have you seen the film Pixels? Adam Sandler's movie,
yes.
Pixels. Remember who the president was in that movie? Kevin James.
That's right, Kevin James, the king of Queens.
President so Kevin funny. James. Yeah, I'd rather have Dwayne The Rock Johnson than Kevin James.
Kevin James, who, of course, also was Paul Blart Mall Cop. I mean, that is a roll and a half right there.
Great, great movie. Terrible sequel. Great original.
Yeah. But isn't it funny, though, you know, that whole thought process of you're incredibly well known. So, you know, people would accept you as a presidential figure. You know, we always think of a president with great gravitas and all that. So I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Now, you know, this. Here's another potentially controversial subject, but we're looking at the bright side on this. You know, there's much to do as we get into politics about whether your state allows medical marijuana and or recreational use of said marijuana. And now there are enough states that have okayed marijuana there that it has actually created something called pot tourism. Have you heard about that?
I have not heard, you know, the term pot tourism. I can certainly understand what it means and where you're going with this. How much tourism has the state of Colorado, for example, you know, people going out to the dispensaries out there? I'm sure there's some people that would have otherwise never gone to Colorado that are like, hey, you know what? Let's go to Colorado for vacation. I wonder why. And it adds to their tourism dollars. I can absolutely believe that.
Yeah, it's saying that the biggest cities for pot tourism include Los Angeles, San Francisco, Las Vegas, Denver, and New York are the top cities for marijuana tourism. Now, according to an industry analyst, the economic impact generated by regulated marijuana sales could top $112 billion this year.
Jeez, that's
it's a lot of money. A
lot of money.
So that's what I was saying about pot tourism. May or may not exist in your state, not even suggesting that it should, but that's a factor. As Adam just said, if you're Denver, Colorado, you say, hey, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, because we know there's potential social ills anytime you legalize something that it doesn't work for everybody. But that's intriguing to me that it generates that amount of money and that your city could actually benefit directly from it.
We'll have to look at, I've got some friends that live in Denver. I'll have to put them on assignment and see how many of these dispensaries are doing charitable works with their revenue. Because this isn't even a guess. I guarantee you there are events or funding or donations or something to raise money for good causes through their dispensary. I guarantee you that's happening.
Yeah. No, I think that I would definitely have to agree with that, especially with the amount of money that is involved here. Now, Adam, if you get some Amazon packages, as you were saying, then this is specifically, yes, Amazon. Make sure that when you return something through Amazon, that you know where your family cat is.
Oh, no. Apparently, who returned their cat?
A cat disappeared from a home in Utah. What had happened is the cat had jumped into the one of the packages that was shipped back to the Amazon Return Center in Los Angeles.
I do know. Now, I am not a cat person, but I know a lot of cat people, and I've learned through them that cats do love cardboard boxes. They love them.
Yes. They like cardboard boxes.
So I can absolutely see you've got your box open. You've got your item you need to return in the box, but you haven't closed the box. And the cat jumps in there and gets comfortable and cozy and lays down and crawls up in a ball. And now you come back with some packing tape, close it up and send it off. And that cat gets a free trip to L.A.
Yeah, this ended up with a very happy ending. Amazon warehouse workers discovered the cat. They were able to locate the cat's owner through her microchip. So this is another good reason to microchip your pets.
That is a fantastic anecdote for microchipping your pet. Now, where was the original location that the cat traveled
from? The original location was their home in Utah.
Utah,
and then it was sent to L.A. about 700 miles away.
A 700-mile trip with a happy ending thanks to a microchip. And I have to believe, even microchip or not, there's a return address label on the box, right?
Sure. That probably helped a great deal.
That cat was getting home some way.
The cat had a barcode on it, but yes.
Now, when they got the cat back to Utah, did they just send it in another Amazon box? or did they call the owner who had to fly to L.A.? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but the cat was unharmed, even though it spent a little bit of time in a box. So, now, don't order something from Amazon and expect a bonus animal.
No.
That's not part of the new program. Wouldn't that be great? You open the box. Did we order a cat? Because we have one now.
That might be a bonus program that Jeff Bezos needs to look into. I think if you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of getting a pet, maybe he'd make even more money.
Yes. Absolutely. And this is always an interesting story because you say to yourself, hey, I kind of wonder what I'm going to do. You know, I always find it almost humorous when they ask a high school student, what do you want to do in life? Because a lot of times you just get that blank stare. You know, you raised a couple of kids, sometimes even your own kids, you know, and you're Mr. Motivation. I'm going to guess even a couple of times with your kids, they just looked at you and go, I have no idea.
Yeah. And I mean, I was in my mid-20s and still didn't know. So for a high school kid, I'm amazed when I meet young people that have a plan and know what they're going to do.
Oh, I do too. In fact, this is graduation season, and some friends of ours, their daughter just got her PhD, and they're so excited. She's going to relocate to Texas with her husband, who is doing his residency program. So they're kind of a power couple.
That's
a power she's a
couple.
Doctor. He's a doctor, and you think, wow, that is so cool. They really know what they want to do. Now, most kids don't, so that's why I'm bringing this up. There's a shortage of veterinarians in the United States.
I did not realize that, and I wouldn't have guessed that. That seems like one of those jobs that people love animals, and you know, I think a lot of people would want to be a vet.
Well, I think that people do want to. They may just not realize the need for vets. They found that 47 states are currently facing some sort of veterinary shortage. So if you've even been remotely inclined, you like animals, and, you know, once again, to become a vet, you got to be kind of a good student. So if you're a good student, you like animals, one of the things you might want to think about is becoming a vet. One of the reasons they feel there may be a shortage is it costs up to about $160,000 to go through school to become a vet.
Okay, I see where the shortage might be coming in now.
You see a financial issue here. Yeah.
Okay, I could just invest just a few more dollars and study just 7 more minutes a day and become a human doctor. Okay, I'm going to do that.
Well, and that's the thing, isn't it? If you're that kind of person, once again, you're good at school, you're good at math and biology, and you say to yourself, doctor sounds good. But yes, potentially you might want to think about becoming a vet. The study says by the year 2030, there could be 15,000 fewer vets than needed in the United States to take care of all of our pets.
You know, I would have to, you know, for a young person listening that's thinking that's good at biology and the sciences and maybe thought about being a doctor, maybe doesn't want to be a doctor, loves the animals. If you have your own veterinary practice, I have to believe the money is incredible. Only based on all my friends and family that have pets and their stories of unbelievable price tags when they take their animal to the vet because of some sickness, or they swallowed a tennis ball, or there's an emergency appendectomy, and pet owners, you know, their pets are a member of their family. You're not going to have that procedure done to save your dog's life. So, you know, there's a $4,700 treatment or procedure that you've got to write a check for to bring Spot home. And I got to think the money in the world of vetting is pretty good, especially if, you know, you're running your own practice. So maybe I should go back to school and become a vet if there's a shortage.
But you're so allergic to animals. Wouldn't you be known as the sneezing vet?
It'd be the hypoallergenic veterinary office of Adam Ritz. So if you have a long-haired dog, I won't treat it. Yeah. Golden retrievers not welcome.
Yes, only dogs with very short hair and cats can come in. That's funny. We're always loving the fact that celebrities get involved with charities. Robert Plant, put him on the list. He's becoming more involved with a charity supporting homeless people.
Wonderful.
Yeah, he's been a longtime supporter of a charity called Good Shepherd.
Good Shepherd. I'm writing this down. I want to check it out. I'm a huge Robert Plant fan. Love his work. Famously Led Zeppelin frontman. Still singing and touring, by the way. I saw a picture of him just yesterday. He looks fantastic. I mean, he doesn't look young. I'm not saying that. But he looks cooler than ever. He's, you know, it might be a wig. I have no idea. But he's still got the hair.
Yeah, he's really something else. And as you said, insanely talented. He has stepped up his backing by becoming a patron of Good Shepherd. His support includes creating a new trainee program, which will offer paid roles within the organization for people with experiences of homelessness. Robert Plant said in a quote, "Providing food and a range of other support is a key part of it, but something that I think is so important is the focus on rebuilding confidence, self-esteem, and spirit."
That's fantastic. I just love it when these seemingly bad boys of rock, we've always talked about Metallica and how much good they do.
Yes.
You know, in the late 80s, early 90s, if you were going to tell some 22-year-old fan of Metallica how much good they were going to do in the world, they might not believe you. But the bad boys of rock doing good, it's a fantastic story to hear. So, Jay Baker, thank you so much. You are the classic rock guru. How many years did you spend in classic rock radio? You're still doing it, too, on the side.
Yes, 40-plus years.
40-plus. Did you ever meet Robert Plant?
No, Robert Plant just was never available to us in an interview capacity. But he would have definitely been on a bucket list.
Well, I did meet Metallica in my modern rock days when I did modern rock radio. So maybe we'll have to do a show where we combine our rock radio histories to come up with all of the people we've spoken to that are doing good works today.
Oh, that'd be fun.
All right, Jay, thank you so much. For our listeners, can't do it without you. Thanks for tuning in. All the information, contact, and other podcast form shows you want to listen to are on our website, adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.